Our first reading is taken from Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. This is on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's stand to sing again, number 86, Break Thou the Bread of Life, after which do please remain standing for our gospel reading.
The Gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and this can be found on page 1002 of the Church Bibles. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, on page 1002. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do take a seat. Can I add my welcome to Sally's? It's really good to be here with you this morning at St. Saviour's. I have a slight fear I look a little bit like an angel sitting on top of this Christmas tree. Not a very beautiful angel, I'm afraid, but worth thinking that it's going to be my wife standing here next week. Whether you'll be able to see her at all is an interesting question. And maybe worth saying, I think this is right, if you want communion on Christmas morning, you need to come to St. Philip's at 10 o'clock, and you would be very, very welcome at St. Philip's, or at 8 o'clock, those are the, or at midnight, but at 10 o'clock, St. Philip's is actually the place where communion is happening this week. So if you would value that, I'm going to be leading it. I'd love to see you there, though they would, of course, love to see you here as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this season of Advent, we Christians remind ourselves that time matters. The world is not set in an everlasting cycle with time just going round and round, again and again, but never really getting anywhere. No, time has an arrow, a direction, and so awareness and proper urgency are a part of what Christian life is about. And those things are in Paul's mind as he writes these closing words to the Colossians in that short section from chapter 4 of Colossians we read before. They seem rather short and punchy, almost random thoughts. You could imagine a list of bullet points covering these things. But they're a call to the crucial work of the times in which we live. And Paul directs us to three vital activities. First, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, verse 2. Paul probably has petitionary prayer in mind, asking God that things would happen. And quite simply, Paul thinks Christians should be praying people, praying consistently, praying with discipline. Not, of course, suggesting we don't do anything else, but that prayer is somewhere at the heart of our lives. And we should do this because we know the times we live in. As Paul puts it, we should be watchful. We should pray with alertness and with awareness to what's going on around us. And that is an Advent theme. Christ will return. We don't know when, but we are to be ready for him when he comes. We're to have been about his work in preparation for his coming. One of the great biblical pictures of that is the picture of watching, being about the business we should be about in these times, not sleeping, which is the opposite in this particular image. No doubt many of us have had that experience of falling asleep when we are trying to pray. I know I have. not usually in public prayer, but we know the disciples struggled with that in Gethsemane. Such things happen, and we shouldn't worry too much about them. But if we're always asleep and never praying, then we're not in the right place. And there's reason not to sleep, for we are also to pray with thanksgiving, with joy. We may look to an uncertain horizon, waiting for God's next move. But we don't do so with fear or with concern. We do so as people of hope, giving thanks even now for what we expect on that day. So a first direction from Paul and a first question for us to ponder. Do I pray in that way? Am I awake and aware? Am I thankful? And if not, maybe the first prayer for us is to ask God to make us so. Pray for help in prayer. Give thanks in hope for growth in thanksgiving. But then second, what to pray for? No doubt many things. But at the very least, Paul says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Part of their prayer, part of our prayer, should be focused on the mission of the church. For them, they were linked to Paul, the great missionary and church planter, and so it was no doubt natural for them to support his activity by their own. We perhaps don't stand in quite the same position. There are no apostles of Paul's thought out there today. But there are many missionaries, church planters, evangelists in our day too, some far afield, some close to home. And we should pray for them. No doubt for many things, but Paul suggests a couple. First, that God may open a door for our message. Evangelists matter. Yes, God gives them gifts for their work, certainly. But finally, it's God who opens the doors. Whether those are doors to go into particular places, think of that great organization calling itself Open Doors, which seeks to take the word into places that have been closed. Or whether the doors are routes into the hearts and minds of listeners. Ultimately, that is God's business with which they join. And so we too should pray for open doors. And alongside that, pray that God would help us to do our human work well, that each evangelist would truly proclaim Christ with clarity and with purpose. Who are we praying for like this? It may be our church mission partners, and that lovely letter from Neil and Liz Peterson reminds us of how important that is to them. It may be others who we know or support, but it does really matter. To take another example close to home, Bishop Given certainly values the money we provide for his church in Tanzania. But he values more our fellowship and our prayer for the missionary work they do in Kondoa. So we should pray. In our prayer, we should pray for mission. But the passage then takes another step in verses 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And suddenly we've taken an extra step. Before we were prayers, even if our prayer was for those evangelists and missionaries particularly gifted to share the word of God. But now all of a sudden Paul has set down his prayer stream of thought and is following his mission stream of thought. And so it's us who are dealing now with the outsider, no longer some mission expert offered a distance to us. We are to be wise, Paul says, in how we deal with the people who come across our path. It seems a good idea, doesn't it? Surely better than being foolish. But what does it look like, we ask? Making the most of every opportunity, our church Bibles tell us. In fact, the actual phrase is making the most of the time. Making the most of the time. And that takes us back to this Advent picture. We live in this time of waiting and watching. We live in this time of readiness for the arrival of Christ. And so we act as if time matters. We can't just assume that everything will go on forever. We can't take it for granted that there will be to have a tomorrow, to have the conversation we don't much fancy having today. As wise people, we know it matters how we talk to, how we engage with our friends and neighbours every day. Verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When we talk to people, when we talk about anything, but particularly about Jesus, about the life of God, are our words dull and boring? Or are they gracious, attractive, wholesome? Do they come across as flavourless? Or have they had the right seasoning added so that they are tasty, to savour and full of life? I had some fish and chips the other day. The salt makes a difference, doesn't it, when you're having fish and chips? We're meant to be fish and chips with the salt on when it comes to the way we deal with those around us. Do we think about how much these relationships, these conversations matter? Do we think about how we conduct them? The advice is very similar, really, to Peter's, which we looked at a few weeks ago from 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. Being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, and doing so with gentleness and with respect, as he puts it. So are we alert to the times, alert in prayer, alert in our relationships, seeking the spread of the gospel, playing our own part through prayer and conversation, focused always on God and thankful for what he's done for us and all the world? A few bullet points, perhaps, but bullets that speed us towards God's work and the new world for which we wait. A moment of quiet and we'll pray. Father God, we thank you that you call us to be people of prayer. We thank you for the lives of prayer, of relationship with you, that you give us. We pray that where we need to, you will help us to grow in prayer. And grow especially in this grace of praying for outreach and for mission. But as we are people of prayer speaking with you, make us too people who speak of you to others around us. Help us in that, to be gracious in our words, to be wise in our speech, to speak with savour of what you mean to us and to the world. And we pray that through it, people might hear and receive your word and grow too in your life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.